here we go. Welcome to another edition of We Talk Music. I am the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast, and I am joined by the Crown Prince of Charisma. That's the
mole.
That's
me.
Hey you.
Hey. Crown Prince of Charisma. Let's not build it up too much, because we have a real actual charismatic person on the line with us here today.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah. The lead singer of Electric Six and lyricist and all-around guru, I suppose, of the band. It's you. It's Hey You.
I'm on the phone right now with you.
That's right. Often referred to as Dick Valentine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. We're just zipping through Rhode Island right now. Hoping to see Connecticut someday.
Sweet. Yeah, I couldn't believe when I looked at your list of tour dates. You guys are going hard, aren't you?
Yeah, it's been a busy year. So we've got about 20 more shows to go, and then we're just going to shut it right down and then dream it all up again.
That's it's great, because I know that I myself am going to get a chance to see you in Memphis coming up in a couple of weeks. So I'm really looking, Nashville in a couple of weeks. Looking forward.
I was about to correct you there. I always give people about 4 or 5 seconds to correct themselves, and then I jump right in there.
Perfect. Well, that's good. Yeah, because I realized, wait, I'm going to Memphis first, then Nashville. So.
Yeah.
Anyways,
you're gonna be walking with your feet. 20 feet over Beale.
That's right.
Was it Mark Cohn, Walking to Memphis?
Oh,
you know that one?
It's a great song. Yeah. I love it.
There'll be catfish on the table. And then, the end where he gets asked if he's a Christian, and he says, "Ma'am, I am tonight." And that's funny, because he's actually Jewish. So, yeah, that's the punchline there.
There you go.
For one night only.
Beautiful. So, yeah. We're going to talk about some Bride of the Devil. So what? How did Bride of the Devil come about?
Well, we started last January recording it in the home studio of our keyboard player Tate Nucleus and our bass player Rob Lower, and they were kind of the point people on the production of it. And we've done home recording for the last 10 records now, so we just kind of work at our own pace and do what we do without outside interference.
Is there? I guess at this point in your career, I mean, it must be a lot easier to record by yourself and not actually have to worry about trying to go someplace else and get, you know, really pushed through by somebody else. You know what you want to sound like, right?
Yeah, for sure. The first album was the only one where we brought in an outside producer, and you just kind of realize that. You don't need that. You were basically giving somebody a lot of money to tell you how much you suck. So we weren't looking for a psychological breakdown. We just wanted to have fun making a record.
You guys made a lot of records too. That's what's really impressive to me, is the unbelievable amount of albums you've recorded over the last 20 years or so.
Yeah, I think people keep telling me this is our 14th record, and I you got me.
Yep, we lost you there, but you're back on.
It was not. Not that long that you don't. I don't even think you have to do an edit. I think it can be part of the show.
Oh yeah, it's all good. It's all good. No big deal.
Sure. Great.
Okay. So yeah, you were talking about the number of albums. I don't know if you had finished that. If you had finished that or not.
Yeah, I mean, 14 albums. That's what I've been told. And I, like I said, I have no choice but to believe. If you have that many people corroborating something, you should believe it.
Yeah, and the internet's never wrong. So,
exactly.
Oh, I mean that's the important thing to remember. But okay, now I had asked about, or I was going to ask about your songwriting process. Now, do you have a whole bunch of songs that you just kind of pull out from the back of your head? Do you go and write an album all at once, or is it just kind of like a whole bunch of collected songs that you've been working on for a while?
Well, the first question I have for you is, are you Canadian? You sound Canadian.
I am totally Canadian, yes.
Okay, yeah, okay, good. So I'm speaking, you're in Canada right now.
Yes.
Yes, if we want to talk.
We were just there.
If you want to talk even slower, we are Canadian.
Yeah, okay. We were just in Canada. We had a blast doing it. It was great. To your question, songs come as they come. I mean, sometimes they can start with the title, sometimes they can start with a guitar riff. I had a song off the first album called Vengeance and Fashion, and I held my breath for a minute and just blurted out the first line after holding my breath, and that was a technique you can use to start a song. So, there's any number of ways you can do it.
I get that. Yeah, we've not heard that one before, but I would like to suggest that.
Well, now I know how to write a song. I didn't know how before. Go. Suddenly, I can write.
Yeah,
I
mean, any number of ways. There's no rules. Just write.
We just need a home studio now.
Yeah, pretty good. The Bride of the Devil, the cover's really cool. Who did that for you?
That was a friend of the band. His name is Nick Patterin. He's a friend of ours from Detroit. And it was a very, very well done tribute to the movie.
Yeah, to Dawn of the Dead, the original classic, Romero. So are you guys big fans of the movie or big fans of horror films and that type of thing?
I think some of us are. I mean, I'm more into period pieces of Victorian women in corsets, things like that. Jane Austen and then Star Wars. So as far as those are my two things. So if it's not set in Victorian London or in outer space, then I'm not really that into it. But there are five other people in the band, and I think some of them do watch horror movies. Yes.
I'm really glad that there was six people in the band. I got concerned before watching a live album. It was just like I was thinking, was this an ironic Electric Six, or was there an actual Electric Six? But it's good to know.
Yeah, we tried to keep six people in the band for that reason this whole time. If we ever decided we wanted to pare down to a trio, I don't know that it would be the Electric Three. For now, six definitely works. And when I say for now, that means the last 15 years.
do you ever feel concerned about trying to match a certain sound, or is there just no rules when it comes to you?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I don't, I'm not, I'm probably in the band. I mean, I'm the least, in tune with sound, I guess. My approach is I just write lyrics and try to write a melodic song. But in terms of guitar tones and things like that, that's kind of where the other people come in. I don't really stress any of that going into making an album myself. I just want to have a good time and enjoy the album.
Well, there's no question.
Enjoy the process, as you say.
Yeah, sure. I think there's no question that you're having a lot of fun. I mean, just reading the write-up on The Bride of the Devil is fantastic. I mean, going through the, you know, about the devil and corrupting women and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun. And I appreciate that sense that we get for you. I mean, going into some of the songs like Your Toast and Hades Ladies, it's definite that you've got a good sense of humor.
I try to. Maybe I'm masking some pain, I don't know, the humorous aspect of the music has always been there, specifically so I could have a good time.
Well, I mean,
if people like you also have a good time because of that, then it builds and it snowballs, and then you see what happens, and now we're on the road.
You know, we're in a world where sometimes people don't have a good sense of humor, and things you can say on stage or songs and these type of things, people get too politically correct, you know? And it seems to me like you just don't give a shit about that. You just don't worry about that, and it's not your thing. Do you have any point of view on some of the over-political correctness that may be out there?
Well, I'm actually more politically correct than I actually understand why we have to have a measure of political correctness. But that said, there are certain walls you can break down, when you're performing or when you're doing something. But I see both sides of that argument. I'm definitely not one of those people who is angry at political correctness. I do see a need for it.
Now, when you're on stage, the look that you kind of currently have, which I've seen for a little while, I mean, I would kind of refer to it as an older frat boy look. Is that kind of what you're going for?
I absolutely fucking hate frat guys, so right. That's not what I'm going for.
Okay.
I'm going for. I think I just naturally look like Tom Hanks, so I think that you start there.
Oh, okay.
I'm not trying to look like Tom Hanks. It's just genetics.
Well, I mean, if you're going to look like anybody, I mean, you might, like Tom Hanks is as good as anybody to look like.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Or Ty Domi, one of the two.
Ty Domi.
Nice reference.
Thanks for the Canadians here. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Now I'm just wondering because like I got thinking about it after reading up on you, your Dick Valentine. Now we also know of a singer called Handsome Dick Manitoba. Was there? I don't know. Do you know who Handsome Dick Manitoba is?
I think I've heard the name. I know, but yeah, it was never on my radar when I engineered the stage name. I mean, I was 24 years old when I picked the stage name. It had nothing to do with anything. It was a name I thought of. I have no idea what it means.
Yeah, because I was wondering if there was ever an instinct to like add something like handsome or spectacular on before the Dick Man or Dick Valentine part.
Yeah, no, like a lot of things we do. Not a whole lot of thought goes into it, and then you're just stuck with the consequences for decades.
If I could suggest, if you do want to go with one, I suggest enormous. An enormous dick.
Yeah. I didn't hear that. It came off as horror.
I'm suggesting maybe enormous Dick Valentine.
But yeah, I mean, if I go into a phase where I, begin consuming a lot more calories than I currently do, that might be a way to go. I'm trying to plan out how I'm gonna finish this career. There's definitely as you get older, there are certain approaches you can take, liberties you can take, and that would be one of them. I could gain a lot of weight.
And we talked to somebody who was playing though yesterday, Pete Agnew from Nazareth. And he's 72 and he's still rocking out there.
I'm gonna take your word for that, and I'll believe it when I see it.
So do you have the goal? Is your goal just to carry on, like, just do the albums, get the music out there, go tour, and then come back, relax for a little bit, and then get out there and do it again?
That is the idea. Yeah, compress, decompress. It's like a career version of CPR, really. And it's like you're constantly pumping our chest cavity to keep us alive. And we feel like, if you stop pumping, then the patient will expire.
And you guys got acoustic shows that you do. You got the Kickstarter. What is Kickstarter for a band like you guys? What do you, what's the appeal of that? What do you, what's your favorite thing about Kickstarter? What do you hate about it?
It's an extra thing you can do. It's a lot of fun. We like watching, people pick up the larger packages and see who's gonna do what, and we enjoy the extracurricular things that come with it. There are a couple of our hardcore fans really hate that we do it, so we enjoy stoking their anger. So that's part of it. There's almost a kind of a sadistic part of it on our part as well.
So you kind of, in some way, though, you can reach out to your fan base in a new and fresh way this way.
Yeah,
connect to them.
Yeah,
right?
The vast majority of people who are in our band really enjoy the Kickstarters, there's a couple that don't like that we do it, and then we do it just to mess with them.
And you got Electric Six miss out. That's I don't know. I guess that's due right now about the same time, is it?
I'm sorry, one more time?
Electric Sixmas. Electric Sixmas is coming out about the same time here?
Electric Six is coming out the same time of year?
Sixmas.
The Christmas album.
Oh, Sixmas. Yeah. That's exactly right. It comes out. We're shipping those out in October.
And that was a Kickstarter campaign that you ran, correctly. Right? Is that correct?
That was all part of the Kickstarter. Yeah. We Kickstarted that one. We might have one more Kickstarter up our sleeve. We're talking about it now.
So that's why that one's, I guess, independently released and instead of through Metropolis Records.
That's right. You got it.
Now, is there a plan to, like, will Electric Sixmas go out to the streaming sites? Are you going to put it on iTunes and stuff?
Well, we can't do that, but I'm sure somebody could. I mean, we do these Kickstarter things. We really try to maintain the exclusivity for the people who actually bid on them.
Right, right. Now, I'm interested when I get to see you in Nashville. How many, you know, the album will actually be out by that point, but like right now as you're touring, how many of the songs off the new album wind up on the set list now?
Right now we only got one, but we're working to rectify that. Yeah, we don't all live in the same city anymore, and it's we don't really rehearse, so we kind of have to learn stuff on the road. And some days you just can't get to the gig. There's no way to get to the gig on time, and that's the way it works. That's the way the ball bounces. But we're gonna learn a second song by the time we see you. We might have 8 or 9 songs.
Now, your stage banter, like I was watching the live album that you put out, and your stage banter, like how did that come about? Was that just one of those things that just kind of was natural to you, or did you kind of gather bits from other performers?
Certainly yes, the latter. I mean, I've mimicked and aped other performers, but The real truth is the original lineup of this band that we started, you know, in the mid to late 90s, you know, those guys back in the day, they didn't have tuning pedals, and they're, you know, and they're also inebriated many nights. And so there's a lot of gaps in between songs when we played with those guys. We couldn't just go song, song, song. So I kind of naturally had to learn how to speak in between songs. And that's the honest answer.
That's an interesting answer. I like that. You know, what is it that people can expect on this tour from Electric Six? You know, what are you just, you know, pushing it further than you've ever pushed it?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, we definitely are cognizant that we're running a marathon and not sprinting. So we just take it night by night, you know, tailor the set list to what town we're in kind of thing. And, you know, we take requests and just try to, while we're on stage, just be on stage and let the rest of the day, the chips of the day fall where they may.
All right. Well, I'm sort of lyric, but that's
probably going to be going to a song.
That's excellent. Well, I'll tell you what, I will be the guy recommending, that you play Your Toast when you come to Nashville.
Yeah, that's actually the one song we're not going to be doing. It would just absolutely wreck my voice. So.
Oh, all right. Okay, yeah, I'll do Hey These Ladies instead then.
Okay, we'll work on that one for you.
All right, brilliant. Well, now, do you have any last words about the album? We should talk about how people can get a hold of you, how they can go buy tickets to the awesome tour that you're doing.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, generally, there's always tickets at the door. You can go to electric6.com to find out where we're going to be. This tour is basically the East Coast, everything east of the Mississippi. Electric6.com, electric6 on Instagram, or on Facebook. You can page us. We have a pager. We'll call you back. And you know, we're a highly accessible band.
That's great. Now, one question, like, do you guys, with your merchandise and stuff like that, do you sign autographs afterwards? Do you, how do you give back to the fans?
Absolutely. Yeah. We love reaching out and touching you after the show.
That's great. Well, we got Bride of the Devil coming up on October 5th. Looking forward to the release of that album. Got the tour. And I mean, you guys are working hard on the tour. So, Dick Valentine, thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. I can't wait for it. I'm salivating. I'm so excited.
And he'll see you in Nashville, and I'll see you next time you get up to Canada.
All right. Well, see you guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Hours a day, living for likes, saying all the things that need to be said, no or never. Just a typical day inside my head, just like the internet goes on forever. And I am reborn every day. Am I standing up or merely standing in the way? night. Whenever I see your green light, I will engage you. And I can be found here every day, saying all the things no one here has the guts to say. Full moon over the internet, you see how crazy it can get. Fever pitch and then you lose your mind. Sorry's not gonna cut it this time. But you never make me go away. Thus I remind you, I'm so much more than just a troll. Yes, it is I.